Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shalom, this is a day that the Most High has made. Let us prepare ourselves to enter into the lesson as we enjoy this Sabbath day of rest. So call somebody, let them know that we're on the air, and let's prepare ourselves and get ready to go into prayer, go into the lesson, and just have a good time together. In the meantime, let us hear the sound of the shofar assembling ourselves together. Hallelujah. Let's go before our Abba in prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We pray for our brothers and sisters that are spread throughout the four corners of the earth, the remnant. May they have longevity, peace, refreshing, renewing, refilling of the spirit. Father, for we need you. We can't make it without you. And we've come this far by faith, and we're depending on you to take us even further. But we love you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Send forth deliverance, manifestation of healings, manifestation of your power, so that this earth will know that you're real and you live through us and in us as we walk in the statutes, laws, and commandments to the best of our ability, patiently awaiting the return of our Messiah, our brother, Yahushua HaMashiach, whom this world ignorantly calls Jesus Christ. We know that you're real. So bless the prophets that preach and teach today, that the faith of the people might grow. Cast out demons in the name of Yahushua. And we'll give your name all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for who you are and for what you've already done. We don't need to wait till it manifests. We worship you and praise you by faith, knowing that you are our King. Long live the King. Hallelujah. Praises to the Most High, for that is a salutation, as well as shalom, and we would salute one another by saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Shema, Israel, understanding that he's not duplicitous, he's not a trinity. We are monotheistic in our belief. There's only one ruler, one dictator, and we are in a theocracy to the Most High, and all praises to him. Us to have a day of rest where we can chill and just relax and enjoy that Sabbath after, I'm sure you've been through a lot of things, ups, downs, mountains, valleys, but guess what it's called? Life. Life is all about changes, challenges, trials, tribulations. And the victories are always sweeter when you overcome. So I pray that you're not giving in or throwing in the towel, that you're standing strong. Scripture said after you've done all you can to stand, you've got to stand anyway. Welcome to Blueprint for Life. I'm V, the Preacher. We're here on Blog Talk Radio by Alm Hoyda and the Social Change Action Network. been going strong for 12 years now, and we will not stop because this is a ministry. This is a way of life. This is a way of blessing. This is a way of protection. I bet you didn't know that your ministry is your protection, because it's just like Goshen for the children of Israel. There we stay and we wait while the Most High handles his business. These statutes, laws, and commandments are, in essence, as I always say, and I always will, they are a blueprint for how we should conduct our lives. We fall short pretty often, but the key to the statutes, laws, and commandments is to get back up and try again and never throw in the towel, to never give up, because he's faithful. And we thank him for mercy, and we thank him for grace. The only way we can restore the moral fiber of our household, which can impact our communities, is by coming back to the cultural aspect of the statutes, laws, and commandments that were given to the children of Israel. We've already established in times past that they're not done away with and who they are. Now other nations can be grafted in, but when they come in, they too must become circumspect to the statutes, laws, and commandments and be taught what the Most High gave us on tablets of stone that we should keep. And hopefully it's written inside your heart that you know these things by heart, that you know when the Holy Spirit checks you and tells you that you're going outside of the parameters of what the Most High has set in place in life. There are rules and principles and laws in life that, if violated, can bring consequences into your life. So we established Blueprint for Life to get people to not just live any kind of way and say, I can do anything I want, live any kind of way I want. I've got mercy and grace. All I got to do is show up and put something in the offering on Sunday, and I should be good. No, that's not how it works. There must be some conformity. Be ye transformed by renewing your mind. And the regeneration only comes through the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us that. I believe it's Hebrews, the 5th chapter, but it tells you that the Holy Spirit, when it comes into your life, will regenerate you. That means regene you, change your DNA structure to make you a new person. Psalms 19:7 says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of man and making wise the simple. So the only thing that can convert you is you converting to the statutes, laws, and commandments and putting some laws, rules on your life. Everywhere else you go in life, there are rules, guidelines, policies. You get hired by your company, they give you a book thick as a dictionary. Tell you these are the policies, these are the laws. The judge in the court has laws. But when it comes to your life and your spirituality, you do whatever you want and there's no laws? You got to be kidding me. That's insanity. His commandments are not grievous towards us. So we strive to keep them so that we can become better people. And I got news for you. These laws will transform you and change you from the angry, evil, vindictive person that you are. And I say that because this world has a way of weighing on people and causing them to become callous. People will piss you off. Your job will. Your children will. Your mate will. And these things take a toll on you and affect you to the point where you become bitter. A lot of people walk around with a lot of anger deep inside the recesses of their life. And that must be exercised out through transformity. And the only transformation that there is accepting Christ, being baptized, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then following the ways of Christ, in which he kept Torah and the commandments and the laws. He didn't keep Christmas. He didn't celebrate his birthday, which wasn't on Christmas. If anything, it was in the fall during the Feast of Tabernacles. And he didn't keep all these other pagan holidays, Easter and all those things. On Passover, he knew he was getting ready to be sacrificed in the midst of the week. So he broke bread with the disciples. And then he's told Judas, go do what you got to do. And they took him that night. The things that you celebrate, he didn't celebrate. So if you want to be like Yahushua, then you must do what he did. He kept the Feast of Dedication. And most of you don't even know that that's in the book of Maccabees that was taken away from your Bible. You don't even know how to find Maccabees, but you need to get you an Apocrypha and read it. So if you really want to know what Christ did, you must get into the Word and transform yourself. You will become a better person. When you let him begin to fight your battles, you not fight your battles. Because when you fight your battles, it becomes an endless battle. Right, because the person always wants to come back and get revenge on you, so it becomes an endless cycle. Life can be cold without Christ, but it can be much better when you have hope. And our hope is in the foundation of the prophecies of Torah, Tanakh, and Yahushua, and everything he promised that he would do, which is return triumphant as a king for his people and take us to a better place, a better land, and make this all worthwhile. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. So we got a great lesson for you today. We're going to get into the priesthood. And we are no longer Levites, and we are no longer under the law. You probably heard me teach about 3 months back about Marcion. The name of the lesson was No Longer Under the Law. And I want to establish the fact that, well, Marcion, he lived around 186 AD. He was the first one to compile a group of books and call it a Bible. And that group of books actually consisted of what you call the four gospels and all the books of Paul. Marcion went on to say that the God of the Old Testament was a different God than the God of the New Testament. He was in error. So you need to go back into the archives if you want to hear that teaching, but you can also go to Wikipedia and do some research on Marcion. He was in error. He pushed what's known as modern day Sunday morning Christianity, where everybody wants to just hear the teachings of Paul because his letters are confusing, according to 2 Peter 3:15-17. So you need to get a foundation to better understand anything that Paul writes, and that foundation is Torah and Tanakh. You need to know the word, the books that were hidden from you, taken away. You need to study to show yourself approved. Because all scripture is given by the inspiration of Yah. The fact of the matter is that there is a difference between the commandments and the law, and that's what we're going to talk about. So I'm segueing that into the lesson of what I'm going to talk about, because we're not under the Levitical priesthood anymore. We're walking under the order of Melchizedek, the Melchizedistic priesthood, if you will. That's the office we walk in. We're all priests at this time. We're equal on the same plateau, same level. We don't need a priest as they did in the Old Testament to go into the Holy of Holies and make atonement for us. We can boldly approach the throne because the veil of the temple has been ripped because of the death of Yahushua HaMashiach and how he died hanging from a tree for our sins. Now, what he did was abolish the section of covenant that had to do with sacrificial law, where we used to sacrifice birds, animals, goats, lambs to atone for our sins. Once and for all, he took care of that after Passover when they crucified him and where he was dead 3 days and three nights, not Good Friday and then raised on Sunday. Lying for years. Wish y'all could count, get a calculator. But he atoned for our sins once and for all, so we no longer have to sacrifice animals. So sacrificial aspect of the law has been done away with. And a lot of the ceremonial laws have been done away with. But as we're going to talk about later, the dietary law has not been done away with, nor the holy days, which are Sabbaths. Leviticus 23 are the holy days. Holy days are Sabbaths. So when he said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, the fourth commandment, that is in reference to also your Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Trumpets, Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread. These are Sabbaths, holy gatherings. They must be remembered and kept and done even though they are a shadow of things to come. We practice them, we prepare, for when he returns, we're going up under the rod. And when we go under the rod, those that are not familiar with these things are going to rebel against these things, thinking, because they were taught on Sunday, at Sunday morning church, that these things were done away with, they're not going to want to keep them. And these people will be purged out, because we do know that two-thirds of Israel shall be purged out, and only one-third is going to make it into the kingdom. This being the reason why. So if it's a shadow of things to come, that means it exists. A shadow is a reflection of an existent object. So we don't treat a shadow as if it's nothing, because it is a reflection. So we must remember that. So, sorry about that. I just heard background music. We're going to get into this lesson about the order of Melchizedek, and we're no longer Levites. We're going to understand the passing of the baton from John the Baptist to Yahushua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. From Yochanan to Yahushua, the baton was passed. He said, one comes greater than I. So we need to understand this. I want to kill the confusion that's being castigated upon our people that are seeking the truth, because we're acting just like the synagogue of Satan. We're keeping their ways and not the ways of Christ. So we're going to get into that a little bit later. First of all, before I get started into the lesson, like I haven't already started, let's go ahead and do the herb of the day, which is going to be, I want to talk about pumpkin seeds. That's going to be our herb of the day. So go get your Bibles, get your notepads, prepare for the lesson. Got quite a few scriptures we're going to be going through today. And we'll go into the herb of the day right after this little brief break, and then into the lesson.
We're chilling on the Sabbath. We're chilling on the Sabbath.
I know y'all go to church on Sunday. They all confused.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
We're chilling on the Sabbath. The seventh day of the week.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Friday sundown, Saturday sundown.
Say we're chilling on the Sabbath. While everybody's out doing what they want to do, we're reading scriptures and singing to the Most High, 'cause we know the law and we keep the Father's holy commandments. So let people say what they want to say, let them mock you for keeping his day. Yeah, we gon' be ready when Christ returns. Having church on the wrong day, and they despise everything that we say. Yeah. Even when we show them in the holy word,
the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, and we should always honor the Most High and do exactly what he says, and don't let them non-believe us convince you that the law is done. You just rest and chill with the Most High, 'cause the Father knows who's here. So you tell them we're chilling on the Sabbath.
Say, hey, say we're chilling.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Don't call me, I won't even be answering my phone.
We're chilling on the Sabbath.
Say we're chilling on the Lord's Day.
All right, let's get it with our healthy and whole segment real quick before we get to the lesson, because we know being holistic and becoming an herbologist in herbs is also a warfare, because society, this world, hidden powers, a hidden hand, are destroying our people. Lack of knowledge as it pertains to what they're putting inside their bodies. I've watched three people pass away this week, and so many people struggling with high cholesterol, blood pressure, strokes, and heart attacks the warfare is pretty much also inside the grocery store and what we're putting in our mouths. So we have to unfortunately walk into the grocery store with a dictionary and a pair of glasses and read these labels in order to live, because there is population reduction at hand, trying to destroy the people of Yah. The herb I want to talk about today is pumpkin seed. This will blow your mind. Pumpkin seed is actually an amino acid. It has omegas 3, omega 6 fatty acids. It has been mainly used for expelling tape and roundworms. Pumpkin seeds are entirely safe and can be used by pregnant women, children, and those with debilitated conditions. Those with liver disorders or with a history of liver disease. Seeds do not actually kill the tapeworms, but rather paralyze them. Therefore, the remedy must be used in conjunction with castor oil to expel them from your body. A lot of tapeworms, roundworms, and parasites causing sickness, arthritis, and pains that you don't know about. And pumpkin seeds, castor oil, fish oil, all of this and aids with expelling from your body. It's also beneficial for the prostate gland, your bladder, kidney stones, and inflammation, and also has been used to treat depression. So that's another one you can add to your list in order to transform the physicality of who you are, because your body is the temple. We're going to talk about enhancing your spirit, but also if you're not feeling well, then there's a problem. You're not going to be able to meditate, pray, keep these commandments, and seek Yah. So I want you to feel better. Pumpkin seeds, add that to the list. We'll be right back. Hallelujah. Welcome back. This is the preacher. You are listening to Blueprint for Life. I see y'all coming in and out the broadcast. Why don't y'all stick around for a while? And those of you listening in the archive, welcome. Glad to have you here. We know we have a lot of listeners, those followers, those supporters. We thank you. If you ever want to find me, you can go to Facebook and find me at The, that's T-H-E space preacher, and hit me up on Messenger. Questions about health, being holistic. This is a ministry too. We do this prayerfully, just like Elisha did with the prophets. And Yahushua did. There are many things in this world, in this grocery store, supermarket, that can heal your body without you having to go to pharmacia, pharmaceutical medicines. Some of you are pretty bad off, so you may need pharmaceutical medicines to kind of kickstart or boost your healing. And then once you get on the right path, you start working out and get your life right with Christ, you can start to be proactive with these herbs and have a much healthier lifestyle. So you can hit me up. There are some ideas that I can probably hand off to you that might assist in the struggle with your health or whatever you might be going through. And of course, always scriptures, prayer, praying, fasting, casting out demons. As the scripture said, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. You shall cast out demons in my name. Problem is, a lot of you don't believe in demons because some of these camps are telling you not to read the book of Enoch, but I challenge you to read the book of Enoch, the 10th chapter and the 15th chapter. You don't listen to what some man tells you what to read, what not to read. Expand the information. And then the scripture says, rightly divide the word of truth. And so the spirit will speak to you and you will know, because it should line up with anything and everything you've read in the Bible in the past or in your life. It'll make a whole lot of sense. Nobody should be denying or denouncing demons, demon possession. Sickness and demon possession are akin, right along with fear and anxiety. And every time Satan can find a crack or a crevice, he would try to enter in and destroy your life. And pharmaceutical medicine is not the answer. Smoking a joint and drinking until it just goes away and then you wake up and it's still there. So none of those things are the answer. Yahushua is the answer. Believe me. Seek him early and you will find him. All right, with that being said, I'm going to just kind of, I want to just talk to you today. Got a few scriptures I want to go through. And this lesson, not everybody's going to catch it. I want you to pray about it, write these scriptures down and study it. Maybe study it through the week, make it a platform for you. Food for thought, because we should always be growing. Nothing in life should just remain stagnant. It should be growth. Romans 3 and 31. We're going to talk about the law. There's a difference. And this may blow some of you off mind. There is a difference between the law and the commandments. Right? The commandments were written by the finger of Yah on tablets of stone two times. First time, Moses destroyed him because he came down the mountain and found y'all partying, turning up, drinking Hennessy, kicking, freaking around the golden calf. Moses was ticked, threw them commandments down and killed half the party. And that's why the Most High doesn't like how we revel, because we love the party. We'll run to a party quick and back that thing up and drop it like it's hot. This is the thing. These are the things we love. But when it comes to conformity and restrictions and rules, we are a hard-headed, stiff-necked people. Caused Moses to not even go into the kingdom. Made him strike the rock that the people made him so mad. How many people you know that do that to you? If you think about that story, and I don't want to deviate from what I'm talking about, that we can allow people to cause us to miss our destiny and purpose by getting them to take us up out of our place and lose focus on what we're supposed to do, which is what happened to Moses. The covenant, which is the commandments, were placed inside the ark. But we're going to find out that the law was placed on the outside of the Ark of the Covenant as a testimony against these people. Moses had to come up with laws along with the 70 elders as he was counseled by his father-in-law Jethro to get other elders to deal with the millions of people. Imagine, this is a mega church, millions of people. His father-in-law, Jethro, said, you can't deal with all these people by yourself. You need some elders to assist you. So he appointed elders, and they came up with laws to teach people how to act amongst the community of people. And you know that was necessary and needed, or else they would continue to turn up. They were complaining. You had Jannes and Jambres challenging Moses, talking about, well, we hear from God, too. You know, it just had so much to deal with. So he had to write up laws, and these laws had to be kept or be stoned. Just like today, we got laws in society. Keep them, get a ticket, go to jail, go before the judge. But the commandments, which were written by the finger of Yah, are eternal and holy and will never be done away with. Even Paul said in Romans 3 and 31, let me read it. I don't want to paraphrase. So I said I'm going to read quite a few scriptures. He said, do we make void the law through faith? The Most High forbid. Yea, we establish the law. The law is not the commandments. What he was saying is that we don't void it. Now, why? How come we don't void totally the law that Moses wrote down, because transgression of the law is sin. This is revelatory. You're going to have to be able to delineate, you know, between the two, because when I'm done, you're going to have to study this and pray about this throughout the week. 1 John 3 and 2 says that sin is transgression of the law. It's not drinking some wine, because that sure wouldn't have been the first miracle if Yah had a problem with wine. He has a problem with drunkenness. So let's get it straight. He doesn't even have a problem with strong drink. He has a problem with drunkenness. Christianity and religion has taught you otherwise. He doesn't even mind you having a good time 6 days throughout the week. He just wants you to shut it down on the Sabbath and reflect on him. Sin is transgressing, breaking the commandments, breaking the laws, the ordinances that you know about. So we hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That's different. That's 1 John 2 and 3. The only way you're going to know Yah is by understanding what Yah wrote, which is the commandments. But John says in the next chapter that sin is transgressing the law. So why is the law still important? Because the law is a schoolmaster and foundation. 2 Peter 3, 15 through 17 made it clear that the people who don't have an understanding of the law cannot progress or further understand the things of the spirit without understanding the things of the schoolmaster. Layman's terms, if you have never gone to elementary school and junior high school and high school, you will not understand the MBA program at the university. You'll be lost. So at least you need a foundation, for without the foundation, what can the righteous do? And the righteous are those that keep the commandments. So there must be a foundation. What do you stand on? The law was not able to keep us, because if you offend in one, you offend in them all. So the law is not substantiated. You're not substantiated through keeping the law, because we could not keep the law, which is why Christ came in a different fashion to bring us a new covenant. Jeremiah 31 and 31 talks about the different covenants. And then you go to Hebrew 8 and 8, and you see the culmination of the two coming together, because there's a transference. There was a Levitical priesthood, and now we go into the order of Melchizedek, who was a priest. So let me go to Galatians 3, 24 through 29. Go there with me real quick. Galatians 3, 24 through 29. Give me one moment. I'm using my telephone today. Galatians. Galatians 3 and 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. It was a schoolmaster just to bring us to Christ. You understand? That's what I just got through saying. Here's the confirmation in the scripture. Verse 25. But after faith has come, I had to pause. That's a Selah moment. I want you to think about it, because see, after faith has come. You mean faith comes? Yeah, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yah. And to every man is given a measure of faith. And your faith only grows when you listen and hear the word. Your faith will not increase. That's why some people are fearful and some people are bold. Some people have more word in them. Some people have less word in them. But I tell you this, scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please Yah. 25, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, meaning you're no longer under a law with a law hanging over your head, because your faith has increased. But when you don't have faith, see, what am I saying is that when you're a new convert in Christ, you need to learn the law of Torah and what it was about. You need to go up under the schoolmaster. You know how these churches have these new member classes, and they don't be talking about nothing but the personal church doctrine and what the pastor wants, and his favorite color, his favorite cologne, and Sunday school and what department you want to join. They should be teaching you the law, what it was for and why it came about, so that there are some parameters established around a new convert until their faith increases and they're able to grow and come completely unto Christ and be submitted to him. And once that takes place and their faith increase, verse 26 says, for ye are all the children of Yah by faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. For as many of you as have been baptized, that must happen too, and Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ, saying, come in, you're all accepted. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and you become an heir according to the promise when you become Christ. You don't even fully become Christ until you begin to understand the law and its purpose, and you wake up into the knowledge of the truth. Let me keep going. When you get to this place where you understand this knowledge of the truth and you become one with Christ and your faith increased and you've been baptized and you've turned your back on the world and you don't plan on going back and you plan on keeping these commandments, then you go to 1 Peter. First Peter 2:9-10. And it says this: but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of Yah, which had not obtained mercy, but now you have mercy. You didn't have no mercy and grace when you were in Christ. It was anything goes. You could lose your life out there because you didn't have this protection. The mercy and grace does not come until you've submitted. Right, until you've been baptized, until you've learned the foundation. This is very important. I didn't want to go further, but let me read 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers, pilgrims, abstain from your fleshly lusts, which will war against your soul. And then he goes on to encourage us to submit to every ordinance in this earth, obey the magistrates. That means keep the laws, do what they say. Why? Because this is the will of Yah, that with well-doing you might put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Don't embarrass Yah once you come to him and get out there and be the worst citizen in society. And you talking about you a child of Yah. But you got a record from here to Canada. Doesn't coincide. But let me stay on point about us becoming a priesthood and a chosen generation. When you come into the knowledge and you leave, see, you can't go into the order of Melchizedek without understanding the Levitical priesthood and how it worked. Because somebody had to make a sacrifice for you and you needed to understand that. And so you walk away from the Levitical aspect of it, because your faith has increased, and then you learn how to walk in the order of Melchizedek and become a priest yourself. But you're not going to become a priest when you're a baby still drinking milk and learning foundation, the schoolmaster. Babies have to go to school, preschool, everything. They start with their parents, then they end up in preschool, kindergarten, elementary. You got to learn. And then your faith grows. Why? Because faith cometh by the hearing of the word of Yah. And the word of Yah is Torah and Tanakh. These other gospels and scriptures written by Peter and Paul, and all, these are epistles, letters of encouragement, exhortation, and confirmation. So once you become, once you get into that area, and I want to jump into Hebrews 7 right away so you understand Melchizedek, but let me give you a precept for being a priest. And that's in Deuteronomy 14, because, see, this is one of the things you learn when you go up under the schoolmaster. You begin to learn the dietary law, the holy days. You learn all these things in school. So let's look at Deuteronomy 14. I think I have that one already, Deuteronomy 14. Listen to this. When you go back to Torah, you learn this too. Ye are the children of the Most High. Starts talking about you should not cut yourselves. I mean, don't go get tattoos, cut your head and everything. But verse 2 is the one I wanted to key in on. It says, why? Because thou art a holy people unto the Most High Yah. And our Elohim hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Here goes this peculiar people again. Let me go back to the scripture. Peculiar people is in Deuteronomy 14 and 2. Let's go back to 1 Peter 2 and 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's the precept. You become peculiar when you get into the order of Melchizedek and begin to walk into the priesthood. This was prophesied in Torah, which is why you go back and you learn these things in the Old Testament of Deuteronomy 14 and 2. It says you're peculiar. He called you. You didn't choose him. He chose you before the foundations of the earth, according to Jeremiah 1 and 5. You've got to understand that. Let's look at another one in Deuteronomy that the schoolmaster that you'll learn. This is important because what we're talking about is the difference between the law and the commandments. In Deuteronomy 31 and 26, it says, take this book of the law and put it beside the ark of the covenant of the Most High, that it might be there as a witness against you. He told the Levites, he had to call the Levites because nobody could touch the ark of the covenant. That's why people haven't depictions of the Ark of the Covenant in their home and all that. That's idolatry, and you're not supposed to do that because nobody could even touch the Ark of the Covenant or you would die. It was holy. Only the priest could touch it, and that's all changed now because of Christ. So it said, take this book of the law. This is what Moses wrote for the people to adhere to. Put this on the side of the covenant. But if you study scripture, you know that the commandments on the tablets were put inside the Ark of the Covenant, along with manna from heaven and the staff, different things like that are on the inside, holy articles. So there was a difference between the law and the commandments, and I want to establish that today. When you look at Baruch, the fourth chapter, let me see if I can pull that up real quick. Baruch 4 and 1. We just read Deuteronomy 31, 26. Write that down. That's the book of the law. And then when you go to Baruch 4 and 1, it says this. This is the book of the commandments of Yah and the law that endureth forever. The commandments is the one that will endure forever. The book of the commandments is the one law. See, the play on words that people get confused and don't study and don't see is they don't know when the law Paul is referring to is the book of the law or the book of the commandments. The book of the law had to do with a lot of things that things that don't apply to us anymore. In the book of the law in the Old Testament with the children of Israel, he would say, her period, she has to stay outside of the house and stay outside of the city until the period is dried up and it's done away with. We know that's done away with. We got grace now and tampons. Just keep it real. That's just the way things have changed. It's not the same anymore because of grace and mercy. And we don't have to adhere to that. But you would be unclean and ceremonially fit for Yah to come amongst when you were having your period at that time. And then stoning people to death. All that stuff, because of grace and mercy, Christ has done away with that. So Baruch 4 and 1 says, this is the book of the commandments and the law that endured forever. There's only one law that endured forever. There was a portion of law done away with, and that's the laws that we don't have to keep anymore because that was given to them, and they wouldn't even keep them. So Christ had to come. But the commandments were never done away with. That's a difference. Because it said that the commandments, all they that keep them shall come to life, but the ones that leave them shall die. Adultery, lying, fornication, Sabbath, dishonoring mother and father. And we know that the fifth commandment about honoring your mother and father, that's the only one that comes with a promise. If you honor your mother and father, you'll have long life. Dishonor them, and you're shortening your life. These kids out here today in this generation is knocking a year off their life every day. So we're going to get into it. Hebrews 7, I want to talk about we're no longer Levites. We're no longer under the Levitical priesthood. The last one that operated in the Levitical aspect, that type of covenant, was Yochanan, John the Baptist. He passed the baton on to Christ. We entered into the order of Melchizedek. And we're going to get it in Hebrews, the 7th chapter. A lot of people don't know who Melchizedek was. He was a form of Christ. As many say, he was Yahushua. Because we know he was eternal. Because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was Yah. And the Word was with Yah. And who did Christ say, I am? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the Word. He is the living Word. The living Word. Let me start reading, and I will pontificate as I read from Hebrews, the 7th chapter. For this Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem, priest of the Most High Yah, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings. You know, I don't want to deviate from the lesson, but many say Melchizedek was Shem, son of Ham. Some say he was actually Christ. One thing is forever, there's a lot of metaphor and allegory that you must go through to understand these scriptures, which takes a further breakdown. But I'm making a point today because I want to bring my brothers and sisters out of bondage. You went from one bondage to another. Some of you all came out of the Sunday Christian church, became Hebrew Israelites, and started wearing the Star of Rimfan, dressing like Parliament Funkadelic, standing on the corner, preaching hate speeches, and you're acting just like those fake Jews over in Israel, the synagogue of Satan, and that's what we're dispelling today. You're keeping the days the way they keep them. You're saying Shabbat Shalom. You're trying to be just like them, and what you've gotten into is another religiosity. You've left one to go into another, and you're being controlled by camps and so-called elders, and you're still up under the same structure of system that the pagan Catholic Church established through Christianity. Christianity comes from the Catholic Church. So you're under the papal control. Yeah, the papacy, which was a part of the Spanish Inquisition. Convert to Catholicism or die. Same way your pastor talked to you on Sunday. Pay your tithes or die. And I'm not against tithing. You're going to see that in Hebrews 7th chapter. You know, if the Christian pastors were smarter, they'd go to Hebrews 7 instead of the book of Malachi, because why preach out of one book in the Old Testament and no other book? So tithing and giving to those who pour into you, who are true men of Yah, is a way to be blessed. But that's according to what the Most High puts in your heart. But I don't want to really get into who is Melchizedek and all that today. What I'm trying to get you to do is come out of the bondage. You're becoming religious and not understanding that if you're truly called, you are a priest under the order of Melchizedek. So let's get into it. Melchizedek, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. He gave him a tenth. First being by interpretation, king of righteousness. And after that also, king of Salem. And Salem pretty much just meant peace, which is king of peace. Verse 3. Melchizedek was without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of Yah, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch, our father, Abraham, gave tenth of his spoils. He gave him 10%. He had to be great because Abraham was the father of faith and our father as well. Our spiritual and physical father. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. The commandments, the law. See, the law had established that the tribe of Levi did not have an inheritance. They didn't get land. They had to live off of what the other tribes bought to them because the other tribes had to go to the tribe of Levi and ask Levi to pray for them and cover them and be their priests and go before Yah and atone for their sins. That's been abolished. And unfortunately, when you wake up into the truth, a lot of these camps still got you going through their elders, their hierarchy, their captain of captains of 500 and 600 and going before men, even in church, going through your pastor. It's not even like that. We are under the order of Melchizedek. We are all priests. We're going to get into that some more. Have a commandment to take, I'm in verse 5, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Verse 6, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and he blessed him that had the promises. Abraham was already promised something from Yah, but here you had the priest Melchizedek blessing him, who was already blessed. Verse 7, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes. You hear that? Melchizedek, let me go back and read it. He was without father, mother, descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, no death, okay? But we here pay tithes to men that die. And even in the Levitical priesthood, we were paying tithes and giving a tenth of our spoils to the Levite priesthood, and they had a for sure death. But there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Verse 9, and as I may so say, Levi also who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek first met him. Abraham was in the loins of his father, wasn't even born yet. Listen to that scripture. What do you say? He was in his father's loins, hadn't even come out yet. I'm not going to even get into that as it pertains to pro-life and all this stuff. Verse 11, if therefore perfection, listen closely, if perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it, the people received the law. Laws were established to function under the Levitical priesthood when we had Levites go talk to God for us. We couldn't, and we were scared of it. So if we're not talking to Yah and dealing with him, how was our faith growing? We just standing back afar. Let me finish verse 11. But under it, the people received the law. What further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? The Levites came from Aaron's loins. Everybody, all of Aaron's sons and their sons and their sons, they were all of the tribe of Levi, and they became a Levitical priesthood. So what we needed again was the order of Melchizedek that blessed Abraham, who birthed us. This is what it's saying. Further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek. We needed it to happen again. Verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. If the priesthood is going to change, then there must of necessity be a change also in the law. You can't negate that. You can't do away with that. There's no way around that. That's why people want to abolish the New Testament and not deal with that, because what this is doing is making plain, saying if you're going to change the priesthood, its structure, then you must change the law as well. That's just like when you change the president, he changed the cabinet, and he comes in and writes new laws, executive orders. Common sense, which is not too common. Verse 13 of Hebrews 7. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. This is getting good, because what happened was it was never prophesied that another priesthood would come from another tribe, because wasn't nobody tripping on no tribe as far as talking to Yah but the Levites. But you got another man coming now, and he's going to come out of the tribe of Judah? I thought Judah meant praise. So we're going to have a priest come out of Judah? I thought all the priests came out of Levi. Put a twist on you, didn't he?
Who can know the mind of Yah? You don't. That's why he said, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. Don't try to figure me out or what I'm doing.
For it is evident, verse 14, it is evident that our Yah, the Most High, Yahushua, sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Moses didn't say even nothing about no priest coming out of Judah. Moses was writing the book of the law, established the Levites, got everybody in order. You know, he had to get the church in order. So he established it, and the Levites were established, but he never said nothing about Yahushua coming through the tribe of Judah to establish a brand new priesthood. This is deep. Verse 15, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Meaning, wait a minute, similitude, meaning very similar. Another priest came just like this Melchizedek. For all y'all know, Melchizedek was Yahushua. I mean, he was eternal. He existed. He came in another body in flesh. You have to understand, he's spirit, he's word. But in the similitude. Okay, you're not feeling me. Hold on, give me 1 second. This will help, and then I'll come back to that. We have to break it down in layman's terms, because I feel somebody out there not quite understanding this. Let's break this down. Similitude means the quality or state of being similar to something. A comparison. A person or thing that resembles someone or something else. The same quality, the same state, the same being. Dead on. Spot on. Are we there? All right, let's go back to Hebrews, the 7th chapter. And the 15th verse, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment. Okay. Not after the law of a carnal commandment. These things were carnal because they were written by Moses, which is why he was not allowed to put them in the ark. He put them on the side of the ark, and the Most High allowed him to do that. It was carnal, which is why it was broken and not kept. And Christ had to come. So he was not made after the law, Yahushua. Why? Verse 17, for he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Okay. Let me see. We're going to leave off here. Hebrews 12:17. I got to come back, but I got to get another scripture. Holy Spirit's going so fast. I'm trying to keep up. And I heard, let's see. I want to go to Revelations. Revelations 12 and 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, being Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That's us, the one third that are going to make it, the call, the priesthood, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, who have the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach. This is Revelations 12 and 17, talking about what's happening in the end time when we're being protected and we're in the wilderness. And Satan, who's a dragon, is coming after the remnant, God's seed, trying to destroy us. And he describes them. These are the people that keep the commandments, not the law, the commandments of Yah, and have the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. And what is that testimony? Let's go back to Hebrews 7:17. For he testifieth, this is the testimony. This is Yahushua. Let me read 7 and 16. Yahushua, who was made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Endless life, we know, only comes through Baruch 4 and 1, keeping the commandments. That gives you life. Why is it an endless life? Because this is Christ's testimony. But he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Those spoken of in Revelation 12, the last verse that have the testimony of Jesus Christ, the testimony is that he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. It's written right here. You've got to understand the precepts in order to connect the dots. Verse 18, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. Listen closely to 19. For the law made nothing perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope. The law won't make you perfect. It couldn't. It didn't. But it brought in another hope. Meaning it gave a foundation to lead us to Christ and to bring forth Christ and to establish it. The law was a precursor to prepare us for something to come. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. You understand that? So the law didn't do it, but the potential and prophecy and leading of it to a better hope. That's what made the perfection. See, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto Yah. The law was designed to bring us closer and give us the hope. Verse 20 says this, inasmuch as not without an oath, there was no oath, he was made priest. Who's he? Yahushua. Verse 21, for those priests were made without an oath, for those priests were made without an oath, but this was an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. 22, by so much was Yahushua made surety of a better testament. 23, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth forever, ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto Yah by him. Christ has an unchanging priesthood. It does not change. It will not change. And only he can save people and bring us unto Yah. No man cometh unto Yah but by Christ. You've got to have him. You must come through him. You can't listen to what Oprah said. You got to come through Jesus, Yahushua. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Long live the King. Wherefore, let me say it again. Listen to this closely. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto Yah by him, seeing he forever liveth to make intercession for them. Do you know where he's at right now when he ascended? He's next to the Father making intercessions for us. For our mistakes, our blunders, our sins, this is where the mercy is operating at, because he's making intercession for us. He's interceding on our behalf. Father, have mercy. Father, I know them. Father, I've been with them. I died with them. I walked with them. I supped with them. Father, give them strength. Father, have mercy on them. Yeah, we have Yah, our Father. Jesus is not our Father. He's our brother. He told us to pray to the Father. And he's sitting next to the Father making intercession on our behalf. Because he became our eternal sacrifice, he is our priest. He's forever making intercession for them. 26, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Christ said, long as I'm here with you, I'm just with you. But if I go away, then the comforter will come and I'll be in you. When you get baptized and come into Christ and receive the Holy Spirit, you become like Christ. You walk with Christ. He's living in you. He's not walking with you. He's walking in you, which is why you are a threat in the spiritual kingdom, in the world.
He's like, if I need not go away. He said, I have to go away. If I don't go away, the comforter won't come. And he said, I will send the comforter to dwell not amongst you, but in you. Even David knew this when he said, take not your spirit away from me, Yah.
For such a high priest became us. For such a high priest became us. Who is holy, kodesh, harmless, undefiled. We're separate from sinners. Can't keep chopping it up with them. I'm telling you now. How can two walk together unless they agree? Darkness and light can't dwell amongst each other. Undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. 27, who needeth not daily as those high priests offer up sacrifices. We don't have to do like the Levites did. Daily, every day, they used to have to go kill something and offer up a sacrifice to Yah to maintain their office. We don't even have to do that anymore because we're walking under the order of Melchizedek and not in the Levitical order anymore. So stop acting like Levites and walk in your priesthood and know that we're equal brethren in this walk. And then for the peoples, for this he did once when he offered up himself. This is what Christ did one time when he offered himself, when he died. He came here to die so we wouldn't have to operate under that old system and be in bondage anymore and keep breaking these laws so that we could progress from the schoolmaster and walk as priests. Let's finish hearing this. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmities. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, this is different. The word of the oath, which came after the law, maketh son who is consecrated forevermore. We become sons and we're consecrated forever because we're no longer walking up under men who are high priests, which have infirmities, who are flesh just like us. So you don't get caught up to worshiping your pastor thinking he's the only one having breakfast with the Most High. No, we can all go before the throne. The word of the oath. Let me go back. We talked about that. You probably didn't understand it. Let's go back to16. Who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Skip down to verse 20. I'm going to start at 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto Yah. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. Not without an oath, he was made priest. So there was an oath that was taken. And the oath is what he had promised to do and the promise of his coming. He was prophesied that he would come. It was prophesied what he would do. And even he took an oath. You know, our Savior sat in that garden and asked our Father, is there any other way? Because he was under great stress and duress before he died. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. So the law made men. Men. Moses had set up a law and appointed high priests who had infirmities and would die. But the word of the oath gave us a Savior who lives forever, who's eternal in the heavens, making intercessions for us and bringing us into this place so that we can be in 1 Peter 2 and 9. We can be a royal generation, a high priesthood, a peculiar people. And we walk up under the order of Melchizedek. We become sons. Our Savior is our brother. And we pray to our Father, and he's already made it, and he's praying on our behalf because our brother conquered. And he went away so that he might live within us through the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's why he said, greater things, you're going to do greater things than me. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. You'll cast out demons in my name. So, no, we are no longer under the carnal commandment of law of Moses. The law, the book of the law of Moses. But we are under the book of the commandments, the revelation. And we are under the order of Melchizedek, and we walk as priests, which is powerful. Meaning that we, do you understand the power of being the priest that can go before the Father on behalf of other people? You know who these people are because you know they know how to touch you. And they have a relationship. But most of our people are not there because they don't have the foundation, the schoolmaster, the law, and nor have they promoted themselves to come into the knowledge of the freedom of walking in the priesthood. Because when you ascertain to that level of priesthood, trust me, you understand the law. You know the law. But the commandments are written upon your heart. You don't have to do all these physical things to remind yourself of the commandments because you don't want to keep them. Because the law of Moses is not perfect and cannot take you into perfection, but it is a ray of hope that leads you into the perfection of the commandments and coming unto Christ. You got to pray on that. You got to study that. But you do need to know this. You are a priest under the order of Melchizedek. You are no longer under bondage because you don't need something to keep you in line. You have submitted to this. This has become your life because you understand the sacrifice that was made by an oath for our brother, Yahushua HaMashiach. You've repented of your sins and you've walked away from this world. And you stand in your office in your responsibility unto the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It took a lot for me to try to contain myself today. But I do want you to know that Yahushua knows who's his, who he came for, and who's going to stand. So I want you to stand and be encouraged. I know this is probably a lot for some people. There's a lot because they're still doing things, rituals, to make themselves personally feel better, even the rituals of the law. Now, I have not, if you go back to Deuteronomy 14, I'll say it again, even with the book of the commandments, you study Leviticus 23, and you'll see that that was not a part of the book of the law. These were established as the holy days, meaning our holidays, our feasts. These are the days y'all are supposed to get together and eat together. That's not done away with. Dietary law, that's for your betterment and for your health, to keep you. He said, let me give you some knowledge too. These foods, by the way, are unclean. He told Adam that. Noah that. If you find the right books, you'll see it. Everybody knew what to eat, what not to eat. That was not a part of the book of the law. When Peter had the vision, had nothing to do with food. It had to do with the fact that unclean men from Italy, from Rome, were getting ready to come and accept Yahushua, Jesus Christ, as their Savior. And he didn't think Gentiles could come into this thing. And we find out later in Acts that they had been grafted in because Israelites were still being stubborn, hard-headed. That had to be sought out throughout the four corners of the earth. People, please study to show thyself approved. Please study to show yourself approved. So with that being said, I'm going to close out as I always do. The only for sure obstacle to truth is think that you already have it because truth is a journey, not a destination. This has been V the Preacher. You've been listening to Blueprint for Life. I hope that you're ever achieving, learning, and living a victorious life. Keeping these commandments because Revelations 22 and 14 tells you who walking in the gate, who get to come to the party, the ones that are doing, not keeping, but doing these commandments. So try hard so that you can live long. Shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. to outer space.
This is truth music, the truth movement.
Yo, we've been a part of the biggest conspiracy the planet has ever known, man. You ever wonder why everybody seems to hate us? Everywhere we go, seems like everybody hate us. The world is against us. We gonna bring y'all some light, you know what I mean? Check it out.
It's been a long time, but we waking up so many lies.
Know whose address is from the kingdom, we from the big cities, plus the big lies. What
from flowing. Red or green light, I just keep on going. I quiet up like a church mouse that's tiptoeing. My brothers living falsehoods, they not knowing. Think we niggas, think we black Americans, Democrats or Republicans. Pledge allegiance to fraternity, burn eternally. Tell them the truth, my folks quit to turn on me. They still learning me, my family is concerning me. I got a flow that's a straight up be earning me. But Satan got a tooth in the backyard, don't miss it. They call me king, but my hand, you don't kiss it. We from the big cities, plus big lights. What a feeling, y'all, we the Israelites.
Follow the Messiah.